Tucson. Good morning to you. Happy Friday and welcome into the 1030 The Voice Studios with me, your host, Zach Yenser. We're going to send you off to a three-day weekend strong today. Excited for a back-to-back-to-back show. UA Venture Capital and DVI Equity Partners announce a spinoff of Freefall Aerospace and ED2 to form a new 5G company, Freefall 5G. We have them on today to start us out. Devin Underwood of the Talent Store for another segment of Workforce Pivots. We'll talk some online. We'll talk some working from home. We'll talk about how you as an employer can make the best possible transition if and as you choose to open up more and more and provide more and more of your services here in the state of Arizona. And then to close us out, Andy Littleton and Nick Lang from Mission Church. We'll be on to talk about their mini grant program to support community organizations. Living Streets Alliance has gotten some. The Coronet has gotten a mini grant. I love seeing churches step up in these innovative ways to take care of really tangible needs and be a part of, let's just face it, an economic redevelopment period that we find ourselves in for probably the next year and a half. I love it. So it's a full show. And because it's full, and I have two great guests on the line with us, they are becoming very frequent here on Tipping Point. I want to welcome Julie Bonner and Alex Rodriguez on the line. I've learned how to do this now. It's taken a couple months, but let me do this. Julie, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. And then I get to go over to Alex and say, Alex, how are you?
Zach Yenser, it's Friday morning, a beautiful day in southern Arizona, and it's fantastic to be with you and your Tipping Point listeners.
Yes, thank you so much. I used to say, hey, how are you? And then the guests would fumble over themselves in phone line world. So we figure that out. 2 months into this COVID thing, we're off to a good start. Alex is the CEO of Freefall 5G, and Julie, who you just heard, is the marketing director of Freefall 5G. Two Arizona companies are combining to bring 5G tech collaboration to the public. Alex, I want to start with you. Share the excitement with us of what is now Freefall 5G. And I would also say, if you can, I know the word 5G has been a lot on a lot of people's radar, but it's still pretty new. And I think our Tucson consciousness, what is 5G and how does Freefall 5G fit into that here in Tucson?
Sure. We're thrilled to have this conversation with you. Zach, Julie and I are just excited to state that we have a game-changing technology for the millimeter wave 5G emerging marketplace. Yes, we'll dive into what that all means and how it matters to individuals and consumers and businesses here in Tucson and around the world. But earlier this week, Zach, Freefall Aerospace and the Electronic Design and Development Corporation announced the formation of a new entity, a new company in the state called Freefall 5G Incorporated. And we did so to help our customers and their customers realize the promise of 5G. So I'll dive right in. What is this 5G? You know, a lot of people have heard it be tossed around out there. And it's very simple, actually. It really means fifth generation for what is the global cellular network standard. It's preceded by 1G, 2G, 3G. In your pocket, you have probably 4G capability or on your desktop, in your cell phone. So those have been fielded, and now we're on to the fifth generation of standards for speed and application of cellular and networking connectivity. It's all about data sharing and internet connectivity.
That's amazing. And we want to say also that we've had you on the air up to this point as Freefall Aerospace, right? And so I want to get to Julie here in a second, because Freefall Aerospace, I want to set this up here, was founded by a U of A astronomy professor and a NASA veteran, right? A lot of people don't know that the University of Arizona has been on every NASA, has been a part of every NASA space mission since Apollo, demonstrated and produced an ultra lightweight inflatable satellite antenna steerable balloon-borne communications, and low-cost fixed and mobile ground-based systems. So Freefall Aerospace is an example of what is coming out of the U of A, being tech transferred, brought to market, and developed by partners like UA Venture Capital, the DVI Equity Partners, which is the technology investment arm of Tucson's Diamond Ventures. You guys are an incredible story, just in terms of, I think, how you demonstrate the potential of Tucson's ecosystem to work like we all know it can. Great ideas come to market, get invested in, change the world. That is straightforward. That is the design. Julie, I want to head over to you on this. Why is this exciting news for Arizona, and who does this involve? Who was all a part of this startup spinoff here?
Sure. Thank you, Zach. We are just so excited to help bring 5G to Arizona, and this is such a Arizona story. We're combining the expertise and IP and talent, like you mentioned, of Electronic Design and Development Corporation with Freefall Aerospace in our new company called Freefall 5G. The main thing we're focusing on is our flagship product called the Freestar 5G antenna system. And I know Alex will get into probably some more details about that product. But this is new for the region, and it's actually new for, you know, the fast emerging 5G marketplace.
Incredible. Alex, let me fit in one question here before we go to break, and we can get into some of the specifics. But what problem does Freefall 5G's technology solve for customers? Again, we want to talk about this big news, I think, of what this means for Tucson's innovation ecosystem, but also, you know, clarify for those listening, you know, what problem are you solving, and why is 5G you know, relevant in our lives, and what does that next look like? What problem does 5G solve, Alex?
Zach, in a nutshell, we're bringing connectivity and data, exchanging of data to the world in a much faster and simplified manner. But it goes back to the broader question of what is the current state of the fifth generation rollout of this promising new technology that has so many advantages and features to it that can impact and transform how business is conducted, how commerce is conducted, how we personally leverage connectivity and the internet. There's so many applications that we can get into after the break, but the bottom line is there's a gap, and the gap is this. You and I both know there's more and more and more devices coming online, and being connected into the smart world we're entering. And the problem with that is that the mobile networks are simply running out of capacity. They're being consumed faster and faster every single day. And what Freefall 5G, or what 5G does to begin with, is to usher in a whole new era of being able to communicate much faster. So in a nutshell, it's still a problem because it's not fully fielded yet. This is a fifth generation technology is being rolled out now, but it's limited. There's big limitations to it, and it's being rolled out in phases. So we're barely in, I would say, phase one of the overarching standards that will be met down the road.
Right, and I think we can get into this in our final segment together here in just a minute. But basically, your vision is to use the technology you've already created through Freefall Aerospace, right? These satellite antennas, balloon-borne communications, this real opportunity to move data. You've already figured that piece out. Now you're saying let's apply that to 5G and speed up the implementation of this in Arizona. Is that good enough to get into the break or clarify?
Yes, let me just clarify. So it's a foundation of intellectual property, of research and development that we have discovered with our partners from Electronic Design and Development Corporation, ED2, as Julie mentioned earlier. Their strength in 5G is singularly unique, and it is resident now in this combined company with Freefall 5G. So their IP combined with our IP positions us very uniquely with the Freestar 5G product.
Right. And in another Tucson connection, right, Alex Rodriguez, the CEO of Freefall 5G, on the line with us right now. ED2, this initiative is led by a former Raytheon engineer and tech entrepreneur who's developing new low-power devices for 5G. They actually led a prototype that was unveiled at the 5G Mobile World Congress in L.A. last fall. And it's all kind of coming together in this spinoff of Freefall Aerospace, Freefall 5G. This is amazing. There's so many partners. Alex and Julie, there's so many tech partners in this. There's so many financial partners in this. This is a really big deal, and really excited to have you on the air for the next few minutes to keep walking us through what this does for Arizona. High tech, intellectual property, out-of-the-box thinking, right here in Arizona. That's what Tipping Point is designed for, is to talk about the innovation happening right here, right under our noses, and make sure we know about it. John, let's go to our first break. When we come back, we'll continue with Alex Rodriguez, the CEO of Freefall 5G, and Julie Bonner, Marketing Director for Freefall 5G. We're talking tech and talent for the first half hour here on Tipping Point. Don't go away.
The show, check out the podcast at kvoi.com.
25 years ago, the University of Arizona took a bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. This year, we celebrate 25 years of success at the UA Tech Park. Whether it's the 20 new startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new tech park at the Bridges that just opened up, we're celebrating this anniversary year by telling the stories and ideas of Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business.
Vantage West Credit Union proudly stands with the communities we serve during these unprecedented and trying times. It's in these moments where strong communities thrive by working together. We are proud to live in a place where we help each other, even in the midst of the most difficult of circumstances. We will emerge more connected and more prosperous than ever before. Vantage West has been here since 1955. We're here now, and we will get through this together. Vantage West Credit Union, federally insured by NCUA.
Why I love where I live.com. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Like so many local businesses right now, their physical location at the MSA Annex is dealing with changes to hours and operation, but I'm so proud of how they've pivoted to online sales and a virtual website tour of their brand new space so you can see what they're up to. Go to whyiloveWhereILive.com right now and buy local to invest in the people that keep our economy going.
Hey Tucson, it's me, Dave Ramsey. On 1030, The Voice. Tired of being normal? Normal is living paycheck to paycheck. Normal is student loans and credit cards. On my show, we'll teach you to be weird. We teach you how to live on less than you make. Save for a rainy day. Pay off debt like there's no tomorrow. Normal stinks. Weird is awesome. It's The Dave Ramsey Show. Weekdays live at 1 on 1030 The Voice. Trusted local news and talk.
Trusted local news and talk. 1030 The Voice.
Tucson, welcome on back into Tipping Point. We're talking today with Alex Rodriguez, the CEO of Freefall 5G, and Julie Bonner, the marketing director of Freefall 5G. As UA Venture Capital and DVI Equity Partners announced this week a new spinoff of Freefall Aerospace and ED2 to form a new 5G company, Freefall 5G. Alex, I have a caller question that I want to get to before we close, so don't let me forget. But I want to start with you here and ask you, what makes the Freestar 5G antenna unique in the market?
Yeah, well, look, speaking of tech and talent, Zach, my colleague who you mentioned, the CEO of ED2 Electronic Design and Development Corporation, Sergio Cardona, he is serving as the chief technical officer in this new entity we called Freefall 5G. And I know that he'd want us to talk about the unique features of the flagship product, so let's get right into it. First of all, the FreeStar 5G is an antenna system. It's really a distributed antenna system that's unique in the market. There's a number of novel capabilities and concepts that went into the design of this antenna system. For example, it has a 360-degree full coverage. It's three-dimensional, multiple input, multiple output features that are a big deal in the antenna world. And the size of it really is like the size of a laptop that sits on your desktop. What's special about it is that right now the big challenge is getting 5G to further and further distances. Mm. And that's the big bottleneck, a big challenge. How can you do that? This unique product, the FreeStar 5G, has unprecedented and extended range given the size of the antenna and the current challenges in terms of getting 5G to move between buildings, around buildings, etc. And then third, I think we can highlight here is that it just reduces complexity all around. It takes up a lot less power consumption than the current state of the art, which is a planar array solution-based antenna systems out there. So it is unique, it is novel, it is disruptive, and we believe it's transformational.
Right, and Sergio Cardona is the CTO for FreeFall 5G and the CEO of ED2. He can't be with us today, but obviously a huge part of this and a Raytheon connection. This is amazing how this is bringing Tucson together here. Julie, I have a question. Maybe we start with you. Maybe we pull Alex in, but it ties back to a listener question, and that is, worldview. You know, started out as, you know, let's put people on rocket ships. Obviously, it changed its business model years ago. Now it's kind of a data company as well. If I have that correct, what's the difference? Because I know there is one. And what are some of the applications for your new antenna? What is this going to allow people to do that they can't do today?
Sure. What did you mean by what is the difference? With worldview or?
Yeah. So a question came in like, is this a part of worldview or what's the difference or?
Actually, worldview is a potential partner of ours, and we're finding ways to work together. So they're providing the balloon borne based system and then our antennas will work really well with what they're doing. So we're finding ways to continue to work together. So it's very complementary to what they're doing. And then some of the applications for this FreeStar 5G vary widely because it's so transformative and disruptive. Anything that requires connectivity, which is like most things, and require data transfer is a potential application. So like simple things from like downloading a video super fast on your phone or businesses using it for the Internet of Things, it will be used for everything. And for example, even tracking vehicle users to the smart city concept and to providing connectivity in, you know, stadiums and school campuses. So it's a very wide range of application and we're obviously excited about that.
Julie, I want to stick with you for a second. Alex, if you want to jump in on this as well, but just to like bring this down to the real ground level, an example of what you're talking about, Julie, I think is things like adaptive signaling to some extent, right? Where, we can use the Internet of Things, we can use smart city concepts to basically make our streets smarter so traffic moves faster, that it better analyzes who's going where and how. And people have wondered, why does it take me 30 minutes to get from Oro Valley to downtown? You know, in a better, smarter world, that all gets solved because, you know, traffic signals operate based off of load and demand, not someone sitting in a room figuring out when to make it green or red. I know I'm super simplifying it, but I'm trying to bring this down to the ground level.
I think that's a great example. You know, really, I'm sure we all care about how does this really affect us. And even to you really need good connectivity. We're talking about cities and then safety especially. So like you're talking about the lights, you're talking about people crossing roads, eventually autonomous vehicles. There needs to be reliable hardware and system to help with this connectivity and make sure everyone's, you know, staying safe and the data is getting to where it needs to be, you know, quickly. So I thought it was a really good example. Yeah.
And Zach, I'll share with you that I think both ED2 and Free Fall Aerospace have been in communications with cities, towns, counties, states, different regions for quite some time. And certainly my sense is, especially now with Free Fall 5G coming to fruition, that this region is in a unique position to become known as a 5G testbed region. So what does that mean? It means that our cities, counties, municipalities have been open to the idea that we need to be able to test, conduct field tests, and demonstrate the potential of the new product applications. And in so doing, it helps brand the region as innovative and cutting edge. And certainly people take notice for that, and it builds a reputation across the country for us being known as an emerging 5G region.
Yeah, no, that's huge. And I think, you know, I think one of the things coming out of COVID-19 that I've been preaching on the show is how do we not just focus on getting back to normal, whatever that was back in January, but how do we say, okay, look, this is an opportunity to look to the future and figure out what is Tucson? What is Tucson branded as? How do we lean into being one of those top 10 cities best positioned to come out of this strong? How do we shape the future and the future brand of Tucson right now? And I think conversations like this are a piece of it. I'd love to have you guys back on, and you know, Sergio Cardona and Marwan Kruns as well, to talk about 5G. And there's a whole community conversation around it I hear happening. And I'd love to, you know, do a part two of this. We wanted today just to celebrate this huge announcement of UA Venture Capital and DVI Equity Partners announcing a spinoff of Freefall Aerospace and ED2 to form a new 5G company, Freefall 5G. We've got less than a minute. Julie, where can people go to find out more about Freefall 5G?
Sure. Thanks for having us on today. And we would love for your listeners to learn more about us and connect with us online. Our website's freefall5g.com.
That's easy
and
enough. Yep. Alex, go for it.
To your audience member who chimed in with a question, we can take it quickly, or we can also take an email or call. But what was the question? It might be good for everybody to hear it.
Yeah,
I think I responded to it.
You guys nailed it. It was the worldview connection, and how does this fit? So you guys are on the ball.
Yeah. They're making great progress on the Stratolite, which is awesome for their platforms, and it'll be exciting to see where companies like Worldview and MS go in the region over time.
I'm with you. Guys, this was an exciting way to end the week. Thanks so much, Alex Rodriguez, Julie Bonner, Freefall 5G, for coming on. You guys have a great 3-day weekend, and we'll chat soon. Take care. We'll be back, Tucson.
CBS News at the top and bottom of every hour. 1030 The Voice, Tucson's trusted local news and talk.
How would you like a hand in shaping the future of transportation in Tucson? Well, the city is developing a plan called Move Tucson to identify and prioritize transportation projects over the next 20 years, and we want to hear from you. Head to movetucson.org to share your vision for how to improve Tucson transportation, no matter how you get around. How do you want Tucson to grow? Go to movetucson.org and let us know. Again, that's movetucson.org.
With our workforce dispersed to home and the challenges of high unemployment, it's even more difficult to find the right people with the right skill sets. Leading companies are planning how to rebuild their teams and looking for critical talent now. Having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge and have positive impacts on time to hire, retention, and your employment brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and tune into Tipping Point every Friday morning for advice and insights around workforce pivots.
WhyLoveWhereILive.com. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Like so many local businesses right now, their physical location at the MSA Annex is dealing with changes to hours and operation, but I'm so proud of how they've pivoted to online sales and a virtual website tour of their brand new space so you can see what they're up to. Go to whyloveWhereILive.com right now and buy local to invest in the people that keep our economy going.
It's a great way to start your day. Hi, it's Hugh Hewitt. Join me weekday mornings for the Hugh Hewitt Show. 10 to noon weekdays on 1030 The Voice. I'll have the news you must have, the analysis you need, great interviews with today's top newsmakers, and we'll toss in a great healthy dose of good humor and compelling conversation to get you going. Let's start the day together with the Hugh Hewitt Show.
News from inside the Beltway. The Hugh Hewitt Show. Weekday mornings from 10 to noon on 1030 The Voice. Trusted local news and talk.
This is The Voice, 1030, Tucson's trusted news and talk.
Tucson, welcome on back to the 1030 The Voice studio. This is your host, Zach Yenser, here on Tipping Point every day, 9 to 10 in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. On the line with me now is Devin Underwood, the principal of the Talent Store, for our weekly Friday segment we call Workforce Pivots, speaking to not just now, but down the road as well, helping people rethink or shift how they manage and build their teams. We have so many business owners, organizational leaders listening to this program. We know you're out there trying to muddle through the messiness of today and tomorrow. And Devin, I really believe that this is a helpful segment. This is Devin's business, is helping people think through these big questions. Today, we're going to talk considerations around bringing your teams back to work. Do you remote work? Do you work for your company? Who comes back? How do you accommodate illness and caretaking? This is stuff that Devin deals with every day. We're thankful for her expertise here on the air. Devin Underwood, happy Friday to you. 3-day weekend ahead. You must be feeling good.
Hi, Zach. How are you?
Doing
great. I love a long weekend. Who doesn't?
it could not have come at a better time, let's be honest.
Yes, and hopefully it'll be a nice weekend. I haven't looked at the weather, though, but it was a beautiful week.
It was
nice to have a little cool down.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I want to jump right in, Devin, because there's some good stuff here. You wanted to talk about phased back-to-work planning. What are some of the things you're hearing employers of organizations, big and small out there, are wrestling with as the opportunity arises now to do a phased back-to-work plan?
Right. So, and I haven't heard, and I don't know if you have, on any of the governor's proclamations or executive orders around the office people. I know it's been so much focused on the service industry. So eventually people will be heading back to office and we'll have to contend with likely some social distancing requirements, potentially mask requirements, definitely sanitation. So there's a lot to think about. I know right now employers that I've interfaced with are saying, well, we all kind of scrambled to work from home and now we've got to think about how we bring everybody back together. So it seems to be top of mind for a lot of different companies right now.
For sure. You know, one of the things I've heard out there a lot lately, Devin, and I'd be curious to hear if you're hearing it too, is a lot of people are saying, you know, wow, I'm kind of surprised how well remote work works, and maybe I'll just continue doing this. Is remote work an option that a lot of companies may just decide to continue on? And how do you help companies figure out whether this is a long-term working solution for them?
Right. So there are a lot of companies that have discovered that were really, frankly, previously hesitant about work from home.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't know how to monitor. They didn't know how to look at hours of work. And there are so many technologies out there to help you with that, if that's one of your concerns. A lot of them have seen productivity benefits in reduced commute, or, you know, removing the commute, really, in being able to really replace a lot of meetings that were face-to-face with a Zoom call.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that there's some positives there. It really depends on the work, the type of work, and the type of position, and also the company culture. So we can, with employers, we'll walk through that with them. So asking some pretty pointed questions, getting them thinking along new lines. We can look at what teams, if they're, you know, a mid-size or larger company, what teams maybe make sense for work from home and what teams maybe don't, depending on that type of work. So there's lots of different ways to slice it.
Yeah, that piece is fascinating. I mean, just what you said there gives me another question. If you can think of, off the top of your head, a really quick answer, what are some work from home positions that you found are things that could continue to work from home? What are companies who say, boy, we need these people back ASAP? Are you getting a general feel for our listeners who may be wondering, well, which parts of my team do I think about keeping working from home? Are you finding any broad buckets that are kind of generalizing this for you?
It's really hard to say, and it depends on also working style. So if there's some people who have been working from home and they've kept their work going, but that collaboration piece, so the whiteboarding, the war rooms, the collaborative meetings, some of them have struggled to replace that effectively on Zoom. It also depends on what technologies they've embraced to stay connected. So there's things like Slack to have those instant quick dialogues and question asking happen during the day without, and also Microsoft Teams has a messaging component to it that helps you where you used to just kind of look over your monitor and ask someone something when you were in person with them.
Right.
There's, I don't know if anybody knows the Marco Polo app, but it's a quick video message to somebody, and that's kind of right. You know, some people have used that to replace the pop into the office and tell them the quick thing that you meant to tell them. And some have really struggled to embrace that. The other side of the coin is that, you know, there's a lot of pressure at home right now. Kids are home. Families have come together to quarantine together, or because of financial strain. So it'll be really interesting to walk through with employees and get them involved in their preferences and determinations as well.
Right. You know, we saw, and I'm not asking you to comment on this, Devin, but we saw probably the most notable example of these exact same questions with Pima County, right? I mean, this was front page of the news this week of how the county is thinking about who gets to stay home, who gets to come in, why do we want people to come in, what is the criteria? I mean, if you want a notable example of a big organization wrestling with these questions, they need you, Devin. They need the talent store. We need to tell Pima County. They need Devin Underwood to ask and answer these questions. But the county was asking exactly where we want to go here, and that is determining who comes back, right? You have all your workers who've been, if you're in this kind of industry where they can work from home, how do you accommodate illness and caretaking? And what if they have a vulnerable family member at home, right? It's this is so deep. How have you helped companies so far process, not just the position? Can the position come back? But is their family situation, is their personal situation such that they can make that happen? Talk us through that, Devin.
Right. So if you determine we're going to keep our office and we want some people coming back, the first step is kind of nuts and bolts. Let's get the roster out and let's look at job description.
Yeah.
And let's really determine based on type of work, how we categorize work in office requirements in a fair way, right? And then from there, if we determine this is a flex position, meaning it could work in office or from home, you've got to figure out how much space do you have left in your office. If you are out of space, then it's just a work from home role. If you have more space in your office with the new spacing requirements, then it becomes a discussion with the employees of where would you work better? There are people, surprisingly, even though we hear from all the people that are loving work from home. There are people that are not loving work from
right.
home and really have decided that they are much better at an office
yes.
with some focus time, and they like their home being a place where they don't work because it gets really blurred, right?
It does.
So if you have the space to offer coming back to the office, you can offer that. If everybody raises their hand and says, you know, we all want to work from home, well, then you've got to determine how do we just say that's cool, it's a flex position and that's fine, or do we want some people here? Do we create a rotating schedule? If you have more people than you have space for that want to come back. So there's different ways to tackle it.
Right.
But it starts with kind of roster, job description, and duties,
mm-hmm.
and then you walk out from there. Then on the, you know, accommodation side, so accommodation for COVID is not written into the labor laws yet, right? Because this is a whole new world for accommodation for a pandemic, you know, so we'll see where ADA, FMLA, unpaid sick leave goes in terms of labor law and accommodating this type of stuff. But if we look at where it lives now, there's some pretty clear concepts of how to treat that. So in FMLA and really the Arizona paid sick leave, there is already language around caretaking of someone else.
Okay.
So we really as employers have to be open to these conversations of, I don't feel well, I need to work from home, or I'm a caretaker who has an immune compromised person in my household, and so I really am still going to need to shelter in place. And likely the best move is to accommodate that in terms of law, even though we're not, you know, it's not quite
right.
written yet.
Right.
But I'm guessing from where we go, that's probably where it's headed. So lots to think about.
For sure. Yeah. And Devin, that's what, I mean, that's, I was going to kind of segue there and you just made it a natural segue is, you know, even if you had this amazing office set up and you had everybody, you know, in the office, you know, it kind of sounds like your urging is big picture, be open to continuing some of these different forms of work. I mean, look at culture, look at job positions. It all becomes very specific. But I hear you encouraging, be open to a new normal, right? Don't necessarily fight for the past. Maybe you can go back to that and that works for you, but be open to some of these kind of blurry gray areas that aren't figured out yet.
Absolutely. I think pre-pandemic, we already saw a trend toward people choosing companies that are flexible, open, and innovative.
Mm-hmm.
And this, moving with this, flexing with this, being open and dialoguing and communicating with your teams is part of being a company whose culture people choose.
Right.
And so, you know, being able to move down this path in a new way and be open and creative and trusting is going to be a really big deal in terms of differentiating yourself. And it will change the story people tell about your company.
Right.
Because we all know that, you know, your brand isn't just what you advertise, but it's what everybody says about working for you.
Right. You know, Devin, at the end of every segment, I always walk away, very aware of all the intricacies of this, right? It all becomes more complicated the more you dig into it. Which is honestly why you and the Talent Store exist. And so I'd love to, as we head out here to our last break of the hour, I'd love for you to share, where can a business owner listening contact you to start talking about how you can help them sort through these issues well?
Yep, definitely. Go to my website, yourtalentstore.com, and there's a scheduling app on there where you can put a time right on my calendar, and we'll talk live and figure out where we can go to help you.
Perfect. Devin, thank you so much for helping us curate these really informative workforce pivots segments. Every Friday here on Tipping Point, third segment, we dive into a topic like this and talk about the questions that need to be asked, some of the answers, and some things that they just have to sit down with you about and figure it out in person. So thanks for all your work on this. I think this is really valuable, and I really hope you enjoy a 3-day weekend ahead.
Thanks, Zach. You too.
Devin, we'll talk to you in next week. Same time, same place. Tucson, let's go to our last break of the hour. When we come back, we'll talk to Pastor Andy Littleton. Mission Church put together a mini grants program to seed into organizations doing great things to help our economy and our community rebound. You don't want to miss this one. We'll be right back.
We're the place where Tucson comes to talk. 1030, The Voice.
Over the last couple of weeks, there have been a variety of both state and federal emergency funds set up to help individuals and businesses survive COVID-19. To make sure you have the best opportunity to access these resources and apply for business loans and more, you're encouraged to get your taxes in and to do it with the help of a tax professional. Give Shanae and her team at Simply Bookkeeping and Taxes a call at 520-838-0856 to get started. Tell her you heard it on Tipping Point for 50% off.
25 years ago, the University of Arizona took a bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. This year, we celebrate 25 years of success at the UA Tech Park. Whether it's the 20 new startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new tech park at the Bridges that just opened up, we're celebrating this anniversary year by telling the stories and ideas of Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business.
Vantage West Credit Union proudly stands with the communities we serve during these unprecedented and trying times. It's in these moments where strong communities thrive by working together. We are proud to live in a place where we help each other, even in the midst of the most difficult of circumstances. We will emerge more connected and more prosperous than ever before. Vantage West has been here since 1955. We're here now, and we will get through this together. Vantage West Credit Union, federally insured by NCUA.
Honestly, provocative talk radio on the Lars Larson Show.
Let me tell you how we got to here and why Mike Pompeo, Secretary of State of the United States of America, is doing and saying what he's saying. It's been very clear since January that China held back on telling the rest of the world and even its own population what was actually going on.
Weekday afternoons from 4 to 6 on 1030 The Voice, Tucson's trusted local news and talk.
Tucson's source for trusted news and talk. 1030, The Voice.
Tucson, welcome back to Tipping Point. This segment is what we call Thrive, sponsored by Vantage West Credit Union, spotlighting community leaders that are finding personal or professional success by helping the Tucson community thrive. I have on the air with me pastors Andy Littleton and Nick Lang of Mission Church. They set up a mini grants contribution into the community, a variety of businesses and organizations helping the community thrive. We've got seven precious minutes with these two gentlemen. Andy, welcome on the air. And Nick, welcome on the air. How are you?
Zach, good to be here, man. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Yes, wonderful. So I'll let you guys point to each other in the background and figure out who starts, but why did Mission Church decide to start a mini grant program, and what are the mini grants and what are they designed to do?
Yeah, I mean, I think like a lot of other organizations, we were sort of just, you know, nervous about what was going to happen financially to us when this whole pandemic hit, but very quickly we reminded ourselves that our whole goal has been to invest and be on a mission, and that of all times would be most important now, and we didn't need to be in a self-protective mode. So we had that discussion early, and then there was just a kind of an overflowing of generosity from some folks at our church who poured in to assist the community as people were dealing with COVID-19. And we started thinking creatively with that. We said, how can we stretch this amount that was given? And we thought if we gave this amount to the giving type people who give and invest and care for others, this amount that we got in will grow.
Yeah, so the concept behind who got the grants was instead of us just picking different individuals or businesses, we actually asked the members of our church to anonymously nominate businesses and individuals that have been for the good of the city and that would be greatly missed if they went under. So all of our nominations came from people randomly, and we don't know We don't know who nominated who, but we know that each grant recipient has been a blessing to the city.
And it was members of our church as well as some community leaders that we've partnered with in our area. And it was just one of the big principles behind it. You know, we noticed that most of the COVID relief you had to apply for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And Nick and I, we're business owners as well, so we have done that. We know what it's like to try to fight for your own funding.
Yeah.
And we thought we wanted to change the dynamic a little bit where we invited people from our church and community to fight for the funding of somebody else and to look out for the good of somebody else. And that would change the dynamic to where it would be a blessing that you got, not just funding that you fought for.
So that was
kind of an exciting principle to work out in this process.
If I can add on to that and get your thoughts on this, I think the thing that was really cool to me is and this is what I'm about to say is good work too. Don't get me wrong. This is all good stuff for the good of the community. But a lot of churches I've seen in the community are giving to other ministries, whether that's time or money or service. It's kind of ministry on ministry love, which, hey, is really needed. But what you guys did, I mean, you're giving to businesses and restaurants and nonprofits. Give us a glimpse of the organizations that your members have said, we want to make sure that these organizations stay here for the long haul. What were those organizations?
Yeah, Nick's going to pull the list out here. I'll shoot off a few that I remember. XO Coffee was one that we were able to help out with. Crave Coffee, the Coronet, Living Streets Alliance,
Sappy Homeworks, let's see. We had some individuals as well that have just really, really been good for the community, but I'm going to leave them nameless for the moment. The Coronet, I think, was a really, really big one, and I kind of want to highlight them because right now, I mean, they're struggling pretty hard financially, but they're still paying it forward.
Mm.
So they're cooking food and delivering it to elderly folks, like old folk homes, and like just the first thought that they had when they got was, how can we distribute this to the community? Same thing with XO, just really started pushing forward. Pivot Produce was a really cool one.
Okay.
And as they're you know, helping provide food for others. And then Living Streets Alliance was another that we were really excited that got submitted.
Yeah, and it was you know, definitely we from the outset, we decided that this wasn't going to be, it didn't need to be a ministry on ministry thing, because the big idea was, you know, we don't necessarily just need this money to go into Christian work. It needs to, we're trying to take care of people affected by COVID-19. And a lot of people are doing that. And so we kind of been asking community leaders and people in our church, like, who have you heard of? Who do you know of who's struggling? It didn't matter, you know, who it was. We just wanted to help them out. And we're doing it in Jesus's name. And to us, like, that's the ministry layer of it right there. And we're just excited that people are getting fed. And frankly, these are community members that we know and work with and we've bumped into.
Yeah.
You know, Nick and I, our businesses aren't Christian businesses. You know, I've got a furniture manufacturing company. Nick has a salon and Mail Roots. And we know what it's like just to run a business, and that a key element in taking care of people is you know, trying to work through what employees need and community members that your business uniquely connects with.
This is incredible.
So, yeah, that was behind our thinking.
Andy and Nick, I could go for another segment or two with you on this. I could not have asked for a bigger caffeine jolt to end the week. This is me so excited. We've got a minute three and counting. I'm sure this is a yes or no answer, but is this something other churches can do? And would you encourage other churches to do it?
Oh, 100%. Totally.
Yeah. It's a matter of, I mean, really, they'd have to look at their financials for sure. But I would really encourage other churches to do it, because we're here to be a blessing to the city. We're here to show, you know, the gospel, and that's good news. And so we want to be good news. When people hear Mission Church, we want them to associate with, like, they care about us and therefore are good.
And we've always said that the best way to connect with the community, we believe, is to get out with the community and do what they're doing side by side with them, with just maybe some extra layers of meaning attached to that. So we always encourage that type of thinking, like serve alongside others in your city, get to know them, work shoulder to shoulder.
Pastors Andy Littleton, Nick Lang, Mission Church, thanks for how you capped off the week here. God bless you guys. Thanks for your work, and we'll catch up again soon. Tucson, that's it for Tipping Point. We'll see you on Tuesday. Take care.